All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Cool and Query podcast. My name is Brandon Hall, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Ash. Ash, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. We're getting close to the end of the year, so it's crazy for everybody, but I'm here.
Yeah, well, speaking of end of the year craziness, anyone who's joining from our socials, this is just going to be a more like casual, laid back episode. Also, sorry if you hear squeaking in the background. Evidently, my dog has acquired a squeaky toy that I thought I hid for the podcast, but apparently not.
Can never hide them from the dogs that want the
squeakies. No. I think she hides one or two for me for when I'm like in a meeting so she can go and
Yeah. It's always during a meeting too.
Yeah.
Where we'll take her bones and like not touch them all day until the minute I have a meeting, and then she's like, I'm like, okay, this is on purpose. This is a call out.
Right. Yeah. So we don't really have like a super structured formal episode today. It's just going to be kind of a look back at 2024 and a look ahead to 2025. Going to be a little bit of an abbreviated episode too. So probably a little shorter than you're used to, but that's what we got in store for you today. Ash, I know this is a super busy time of year, but are there any reading updates that you want to share with anybody? Or are you kind of like me where you're taking a break from reading at the moment?
I have pretty much completely disconnected from anything literary,
yeah,
including edits. It has not been a good week for that. I'm still working through Babel and like really loving it. I've seen some TikToks so far of people like distraught towards the end of their reading, so I know what I'm going to have to brace for. But wow. No, I think one of the topics we'll probably touch on is just like not a good reading year for me. I had a lot of ambitions going into 2024 and they ended up not coming to fruition. So but yeah, I'm not currently reading anything. What about you? Are you the same?
Yeah, I just wrapped up Last Argument of Kings, so I'm trying. Yeah, right. I want to be able to start 2024 fresh with like a new book, so I'm holding off on the many books in my TBR right now. I'm trying to tell myself to take a break, but yeah, just because the holidays is usually super busy for me. I usually get some reading done over my. I travel usually around this time of year, so I usually get some reading done during that. But the lead up to it is just chaotic.
Yeah. Usually next week I tend to like, once it slows down at work, I've got all the things I need to get done. So reading does happen a lot towards the end of the year. But yeah, I'm even hosting book club on Saturday for the final book in the Court of Thorns and Roses book club that I started forever ago.
That's right.
And I'm hosting and I've just completely, I haven't had the time to read. So I'm doing like a 4-hour quick YouTube deep dive so that I can talk smack about it. But yeah, I totally.
That reminds me of, sorry, not to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
I was just going to say, it reminds me of when I would like slack on a book report in like grade school and then you look up the YouTube videos to see if anybody can save you. But
yeah, I read it a long time. Like I read when it first came out. Or when the last book released, essentially. And since then, I've learned a lot in terms of discourse about Sarah J. Maas and, like, been really critical of it. But I had friends who were like, I want to get back into reading. Can we read A Court of Thorns and Roses? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, absolutely. Like, let's talk about it. Let's, like, kind of deep dive. And so it's been really good. It's just five of us, so it's very chill. But it's on the solstice, so everyone's going to dress up as a different court and bring food.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. It's like a little dress-up party. Any excuse for a theme, I'm all in, no matter
right.
the time or the place.
All right, well, those are our brief reading updates. Not a whole lot of podcast updates for you guys either. Just some repeated things I'm going to run through here. I say this every episode, but our guest form is live in our link tree. If you want to be a guest on Quill and Query, all you have to do is fill that out, and we'll get back to you and find a time that works for you. And the episode with Bex from... I believe it was last week because we're a little off schedule, but the episode that we did with Bex, the author interview, is now live on YouTube and podcast platforms. And I just wanted to say sorry for anyone who waits for those on Fridays. They've been a little late. I've been super busy. This time of year, I'm just usually really pressed for time. So they've been a little late, but it should return to normal, I would say January or February, depending on how January shapes up to be. But
yeah, no kidding. Also, I will be probably next week with everyone's vacation busting out more TikToks and Instagrams about the interviews we've been doing. I have yet to find like a good option for scheduling. Canva's not very great. And you either have to schedule on Instagram, but you can't schedule on TikTok. Anyway, clips are coming. Fine. That's my bad. It's just been wild. We say that every time, but also it has been truly a crazy.
It really has. We can dive into some of those a little more too when we talk about the highs and lows of 2024 and maybe some plans for like Quill and Query for 2025.
Yeah.
But speaking of 2025, we mentioned in our episode with Bex, but with the TikTok ban seeming more and more like a sure thing, Ash and I said last week that you'll still be able to find us on our usual platforms. All the podcast platforms we're already currently on and YouTube. The only thing that's going to change is where our live is. And then we're just going to kind of evaluate performance and stuff like that moving forward and see how we do from there. I think that's kind of what everyone on BookTok is doing, just trying to find where they're going to shift to. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it really only affects the live side of the podcast, which is nice. It's more it's hard to find a platform that offers the same level of exposure as TikTok, which is the big hang up for me, especially on like my personal author account.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not really sure. I guess I should look into it more too and just be like, I got forced to join Lemonade today. So I did that and I already had like 50 followers, but it's gonna be really hard for some people to like, including us. I mean, I'm not very good at the socials for us specifically, but in terms of like creating an organic following, maybe now is the time for us to like get on Blue Sky and Lemonade and like try and build traction. Is Lemonade going away too with TikTok? I know it's like an affiliate, but I don't know if it's a separate.
I was curious about that because I saw.
Is it? Damn it. Well, we'll find something.
I was curious about that as well because I saw a bunch of people join Lemonade and Blue Sky. Those are like the two big ones.
Yeah.
And when I looked at Lemonade, it said owned by ByteDance. And I was like, okay, so do I even want to bother or is this one just going to get banned 6 months later? But yeah, we'll see.
TikTok that they're banning specifically, they're not banning apps from ByteDance, correct? Like they're just specifically. The sale of TikTok?
I don't know because I feel like
a new app. Does that work?
I feel like, and I'm not a lawyer, so please don't quote me on anything. Hey Nicole, how are you doing? Don't quote me on anything. But even like the TikTok ban is on like really shaky legal ground from what I see. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like if they want to apply the same principles, it could work. Yeah. But just because ByteDance is the parent company, but again, I don't know. I'm not a commercial lawyer by any means.
I know. I guess I haven't like read into it to see if it's all apps by ByteDance or if it's just TikTok. And if it's just TikTok, I feel like the switch to Lemonade will be better. But then it'll take time for the government to go after them too. And I read that like it's not like TikTok is not going to be available on your phone, but there will be no more updates and then people won't be able to upload or share videos. So we'll do some research and find the best avenues for us. Maybe YouTube is the way to start going, but anyway, we'll do some deep diving just because we don't want to not do this anymore. But live is a good component, I think.
I really enjoy the live aspect of it. I think there's some people who prefer to join just for the lives too, so
yeah.
No audience questions this week. We do have one indie release to spotlight that I just got today. This is The Enigma in the Conflict by JB Wiggins. This releases tomorrow, December 18th. So nice little Christmas present. Congratulations, JB. But yeah, those are all our updates. Like I said, pretty slow for the holidays and the end of year period.
Yeah.
I did put these under in the doc, just kind of like the existing categories, but they're like I said, they're just year in review and looking ahead topics. So they don't really apply to publishing or writing per se. Also,
there's that squeaky.
Can you hear it?
Just a little bit. It's really not that big of a deal.
Okay, cool.
It's the year end chill, like company party where we're.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay. As long as it's not, because I know Riverside, she did it last time and Riverside was able to like cut it out for me. So that was cool. But I just mostly worry about the live. Beck Skill said something about IG Live. I've never tried IG Live.
I've never tried IG Live either. But maybe that's the way to go. Maybe we just like really blast out our socials over the next month or two and hope for the best.
Yeah. All right. So I think we'll just segue into this one since we're already on the topic of the TikTok ban. But moving into 2025, that's obviously on a lot of like indie authors' minds because TikTok is a major component of their marketing. Like I said, I know a lot of people talk about being in like 200 and 300 view jail, but even compared to other social media platforms, that's still a lot more exposure than you're going to find there without putting in much more work. So I just wanted to dive into the TikTok ban with you and see like, how do you think this is going to affect indie authors? And then how is it going to affect your social presence as, an author and what your career plans are in this industry, I guess.
Yeah. So broader, this has been a really rough year in terms of getting things done. I've just kind of been going through it mentally a little bit and also just not feeling the love anymore. And I think it's just because I'm so addicted to my social media. I know those things sound counterintuitive if you're like, but you're on social media, so like you must be gaining a lot of followers. I'm hardly making content. Like I just don't, because it's been a bad reading year for me. I haven't been making reading updates. I too haven't been writing that much this year, so I haven't been doing writing updates. So I'm mostly consuming and not adding to it. And a part of me, and I know this sounds kind of crazy because we just talked about like what it's going to be for us in the future, but a part of me is kind of okay if it goes away. It'll be, I don't really spend too much time on Instagram. I just kind of scroll for a second and see whose stories I follow. And then just, so on one hand, it would be really nice so that we can all kind of like reconnect with ourselves. But two, it's like, you know, there is a lot of pressure for indie authors to post a lot of content about their writing, about the books they're reading. I always see the end of year recaps for everybody. And while I'm excited, I often get like, did I really waste this whole year? So lots of conflicting feelings for me in that regard, only because my goal for next year is to like not be on social media enough. So I need to find the balance of making whether or not we switch to a different platform, regardless of what platform you choose to focus on, for treating that like work rather, not like, oh, it's a fun hobby that I have that I'm doing with Brandon. It's like, gotta make it a work scheduled thing. And I think that'll help shift my mind around like, you know, you haven't made a TikTok, you haven't whatever. I know that was kind of convoluted and confusing, but that's just how it's kind of been in my mind. I think for us, even if we just continue doing just these on Riverside and then, you know, posting on YouTube, and we'll have enough like Bex and, you know, Nicole, who will want to tune in, and hopefully on whatever platform we end up being on consistently, we gain like enough of an organic following. So I'm not super worried, just because this has been kind of like a fun passion project for both of us, and a really good study in what work, like we don't really do a lot of marketing, you know, like I'm bad at it, but also we're busy with other stuff with the anthology and all that. So maybe with the anthology finished, I'll have more time to focus on all these different other things. But yeah, those are kind of my two cents on it. What about you? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, no, like you, kind of very mixed emotions. Like part of me is just fine if it goes. I'm going to be honest, I don't put a lot of stock in it. Ever since the discussion started around banning TikTok, I've always just kind of been mentally preparing for, I might lose this marketing platform. And what's helped me is authors existed before TikTok. Like indie authors have existed before TikTok. Obviously, trad authors existed way before TikTok. So it's not make or break. I know it is a huge platform. I don't want to understate that, because it definitely does provide a lot of exposure and opportunity that I will be sad to lose. But again, I don't think it's going to drastically change my goals or really what I'm planning on doing with my writing career. Even with the podcast, like I said, it mostly changes the live format. Because that's the only thing that goes on TikTok, other than a few clips here and there.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I'm not terribly worried. Like I said, I'm gonna miss it for just the amount of exposure it gives. Because it, like Bex had mentioned a few comments ago, if you scroll up, that TikTok is also very easy to make content for. Obviously, like you and me are kind of both on a content hiatus right now with like not reading or writing a lot. There's not a lot to post in that regard. But even for me, even since I joined BookTok, like if I didn't know what to post, I could easily just post a meme video and it would get like a few hundred views at least.
So
that doesn't happen as often on other platforms like it is. Like if you go to YouTube, you'd be hard pressed to get those same numbers. So
YouTube is like, oh, it's just so hard to break into in general. Yeah. Always has been. Like the boom of the mid 2010s has come and gone. So it's like,
And especially if you're not in certain spaces on YouTube, like YouTube does really well for like gaming related content and other things. When it comes to books, there's a much smaller audience. Not saying it's not there. The BookTube is a real thing, but it's if you compare like the biggest book channel to the biggest gaming channel, leagues apart in terms of like engagement and followers. Right. So, sorry, I got distracted by Bex's comment. The type of vids that do well on each platform are also diff. Yeah.
That's true too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's every platform does better with different content. Like I've found you can't really just copy your TikToks and upload them as YouTube shorts because it doesn't translate the same. You might get good views, but you don't get the same level of like book talk engagement that you would get here. Just because the community isn't as big over there for that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And like Bookstagram is like, it's been around longer, you know, and there's that too. But like so bad at engaging, like I'm really bad at commenting or even like, I mean, I'm so bad at social media, period. I mean, I still have my Tumblr from 2009, just like reblog stuff. It's crazy. And I feel like Bex was saying on Bookstagram, it's like aesthetic posts, right? It's a beautiful photo with like a whole theme or it's, you know, like, yeah, it's such a different world than TikTok has been. And I do worry about the indie authors, all of our friends who have like gotten a really good small cult following, our pirate captain, for example, people who really love him, but maybe don't have Instagram. And so they're, you know, you are losing a chunk of your followers. And I do want to point out, though, that earlier this year when I went on that little like day event, the book writing event, that they said publishers, if you want to go trad, are not looking at your social media following. They're only really looking that if you're in your self-published novel, because a few of them have gotten trad published after being successful in the self-publishing space. So, I mean, hopefully that's like a beacon of light for some people who are worried that publishers might not take them seriously if they don't have a following. But I've heard from a good few sources of like, you know, your agents don't really care. They just care about the content of the book, not how many subs you have. So there's some positive to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good thing to remember, especially as I'm like constantly going back and forth with whether I want to query A Knight of Knives or if I just want to self-publish right away.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that like the platform that I have the most followers on that I'm going to probably lose here soon isn't going to really have any effect on the traditional route. So
yeah. And like you said earlier too, like there were authors beforehand, there will be authors after this. TikTok is not the end all be all. But I also do get it, especially for those who have only like created a following via this platform. It's going to be really hard to shift over.
Yeah. I did want to touch on one of your other points as well, where you brought up treating social media, especially for like the author stuff, as more work than like a hobby or fun. I found that that's actually helped me a lot this year. I kind of shifted to that mindset earlier this year.
Yeah.
Where I spent a lot of time just mindlessly scrolling on TikTok and Instagram and everything. And it got to a point where I was like, I'm really not accomplishing a lot of the things that I want to get done throughout the day. So I need to like set a hard limit on what I'm using social media for outside of my author marketing. So I give myself like a time limit for the day. I'm like, okay, I have, and not saying you have to be like this specific, everything works differently for everybody. But for me, what's been super helpful is I set a certain time amount for the day where I'm allowed to be posting or engaging on social media. And then outside of that, I get off. I do slip up and catch myself scrolling sometimes. So I have to be like, oh, wait, it's not TikTok time on the schedule. But
not TikTok time.
Yeah. But no, I just wanted to say I like that, like shifting the mentality around it to where it's like, okay, the author stuff, because it really is work if you're trying to build your online presence and, you know, build your following of readers. So if you kind of approach it from that mindset, I think it does make it a little easier to kind of compartmentalize it and not let it take up your whole day or anything like that.
No,
or get sucked into it.
Yeah, I have to have a mentality shift around that for sure. Like you said, I've just got to, you know, like we talked about goals so much this year, and one of them is just like relaxing those. And I think we talked about it with Bex too. Like, you know, it doesn't need to be a number. It just needs to be like, you know, write every day or, you know, this, that, and the other. But having these hard deadlines, these hard word counts, for me, I've just learned doesn't work. And I also learned this year about the, you know, how I write in terms of pre-planning stuff. I'm hoping in 2025, not that you need a new year to start a new goal, but this has been a very tiring year. So I'm hoping that 2025, at least in my little journal, it's all about recentering and not worrying so much about social media, except for treating it like work. And like Beck said, like having a private and an author page like separately, that helps me a lot. But I also start to neglect my author page because I'm not writing so much and I'm not like actively involved. So there's a pluses and minuses to both, but I'm really bad. I'm bad at balancing multiple projects at the same time. So this, as rough as it's been a good lesson year, like learning.
Yeah.
It's going to be a learning year.
Yeah. We've learned a lot, I think.
Yeah.
I've learned that I can balance multiple projects, but I have this really stupid desire to like, if I realize that I'm not stressed and I have free time, I have this intense like need to fill that time period with something.
Yeah.
So like if I'm balancing two projects pretty well, I'll be like, oh, I can take a third. And yeah, that's
right. You're like, oh, it'll be fine.
And then yeah,
like, I've overdone it.
Yeah. And then I'll usually like realize it'll be a few months and I'll be like, okay, I can do it again. No, yeah. I have that really bad like stubbornness of just wanting to do everything all at once.
Yeah, and it's, I have the same issue, except I will get so gung-ho for the first week and then I lose. Like yeah. If I say it out loud, it's a recipe for disaster. If mm-hmm. I tell people about it, it's just not going to happen in the way I want it to happen. I've also learned this year, like if you have a goal or a cool project that you want to work on, keep it to yourself. Like just don't tell anybody, because then on one side, like it's been great because I've been telling people I'm writing this book and the short story. And it has held me accountable because people ask for updates pretty frequently on here and also in real life. And that's been really good because it's like always kept it at the forefront of my mind. But smaller projects, regardless of what they are, I'm just like, maybe wait until you're almost done with it to tell people that this is going to be a thing, because then I lose steam so quickly. I'm an idea gal rather than an execution gal. And I want to be a bit more of the execution kind of gal there. Yeah. But I get it. It's like you have downtime, so like why not bring on a new project?
And then you realize how like important that downtime was to your yes. mental state.
Exactly. Like Beck said, rest is productivity in and of itself.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll move into a little more of a lighthearted topic before we talk about some more highs and lows of 2024 and a look ahead at 2025. It being the holiday season, I was wondering if you have any, I know every family is different, but do you have any like holiday movies or stories you go to every year, or what kind of holiday traditions around stories do you have, if any?
It's a really cute question. I love that. So ever since I was an infant, my mom has read the same, what is it called? Those like golden era books, like the little kids books that had like the gold spine. Yeah. So there's one called Christmas in the Country, and it's from when my grandpa was a child. So it's really old and very fragile at this point. But my mom reads it on Christmas Eve every year, no matter how old we are. And we've been apart this last couple Christmases, so I always like FaceTime the night before and mom reads it. Mm-hmm. So that's our one, Christmas in the Country. It's like the two kids go to grandparents' house and they, you know, they chop down the tree and they make the garland, and then the chickens are in the coop and they all also have Christmas. The little golden books, yes. And also thanks, Bex, for saying that.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you, Bex.
Part of the highs of this year. Don't make me cry. I will cry, but don't do that. Yeah, so that's like the one thing. And then A Christmas Story is always like the go-to favorite like Christmas movie that we always watch. So,
yeah.
Yeah, what about you? Do you have any?
Yeah, so I have a few. I don't really have any Christmas like books that I go to. Mm-hmm. Actually, I take that back. My grandmother, who passed away many years ago, I do have a book that she gave to us, and it's a Christmas book. It was one of those books that you like record into with your voice, and we still have it, and it still works miraculously. So sometimes we listen to that just to hear her voice again for the holidays, and it's super cool.
Okay, guys, I really need you to stop because I'll start crying immediately. Just kidding. But also, I'm actually tearing up. That is the sweetest thing I've ever heard. Ugh. That is so cute.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring out
the tears. No, I'll literally cry at anything. Like, I'm just one of those people. People will be like, what are you? What's your sign? I'm like, I'm a Cancer. Can you tell I'm sobbing? So, anyway.
It's okay. I followed your What Made Ash Cry Today posts.
I haven't done one in a while. And people keep asking like, hey, you're doing weirdly well. Can we get another one of those?
Yeah.
No. Oh, Nicole says hers was Anti-Claws. But yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a good year for that. But that's a very sweet book to have. And I hope it lasts forever and never runs out of battery.
I hope so. Because we've had some that have, like, the audio starts to get distorted and it starts to sound, like, scary almost. But it's, it hasn't happened to one yet.
This isn't grandma anymore. It's something. Is there a movie you watch?
I like to watch, like, the first few Harry Potter movies every Christmas season. They're just really fun. Yes. And they have, like, the Christmas scenes in them. So they count, right?
We are actually, we just watched episode. We just watched the fifth one last night because that's our annual tradition, too. We always watch the Harry Potter films. It's really the first two that, like, are super Christmassy. But everyone has, like, a really intense Christmas section, like you said. So, yeah. That's what.
Yeah, and then once you watch the first two, you're like, well, I should just finish, right?
So. Yeah, we always like to make fun of it. It's part of my childhood, like 100%. I was a Harry Potter kid.
Mm-hmm.
Went to every premiere and every book release and yada yada. But it's really funny as an adult, like looking back and then like making a lot of fun of it because it's so ridiculous and the acting isn't that great because these were teenagers and, you know, whatever. It's a blast. So yeah, it's a good one.
Beck says, did you guys watch Red One? Is that the Dwayne Johnson, Chris Evans, where they have to like rescue Sam? I haven't, but my brother wants to see it, so I probably will see it at some point.
Yes, so I watched it and I didn't like it. I think I gave it 2 stars on Letterboxd.
Okay.
It was just a lot. Like, it was a lot.
I'm going to preface this with, I'm not expecting it to be a good movie. It's one of those movies where I'm like, this is probably so bad that I'll be entertained, but.
Yeah. I won't give any spoilers. I'll be interested to see in the new year what you think. Bex is, like, blown away by if it's going to be, like, a consistent, like, theme, I was like, okay. They just threw a lot in. It's like. The world building wasn't very solid. It was just like, here's this and here's this and here. It was fun. I think if you don't take it seriously.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was planning on going into it. When I saw that trailer, I was like, this doesn't look like something I'm going to take super seriously, but it looks like a fun Christmas movie. So.
Yeah, I tend to watch The Rise of the Guardians around this time of year.
That's a good one.
So that's always one that I'm like, oh, that's a pretty solid one. I was kind of expecting Red One to be like an adult version of that in its own way of like, you get like all these different holidays / magic things going on, but it's like, well done. No offense, Bex. Anyway, you'll have to let us know what you think about it.
Yeah, I'll have to share my thoughts. But yeah, those are the big ones. And then I could go through a whole list of Christmas movies that my mom makes us watch every year, so they're probably the same ones your families watch. They're the staples that they add to all the streaming services.
Yeah,
every time.
Griswolds.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna skip our work in progress check-in because I think we both know where we stand on that. Because we'll do like a broad year in review on our work in progress.
I get it. It's all good.
Chris Evans as Captain Christmas.
Yeah. Look, everyone's hot. Everyone's hot in the movie. I mean, it's not, you're not like, wow, I'm like unhappy to watch it. I just was expecting more, I think, even for like a silly concept. And
yeah. All right. Well, that covers our Christmas tradition. So I want to talk a little bit about 2024. We both talked about how like there's been a lot of highs and a lot of lows this year, maybe a little more lows than we were expecting. And I think we've been pretty transparent, I think, throughout Cool Inquiry about those lows. Just give us some of your highlights that we didn't already touch on, like what went really well in 2024 for you, maybe things that you weren't expecting, and then what didn't go so well as far as your writing goes. And I mean, anything else too, if you want to share. But.
Yeah, so some personal highs. I ran a half. No, did I run a 10K? I can't remember what I ran. So I completed a 10K. Low for that was that I realized I can't run anymore because I keep injuring myself.
No.
Another personal is like started rock climbing, which has been really fun, which has been good. I've been way more active this year than I have been, way more organized, I'd say, than the years previously. I know I mentioned it, just not a lot of writing this year, but a benefit of this is that I did learn what I'm not doing right in my writing process. I'm excited to not have any solid, you need to hit these goals, but next year is like hopefully by my birthday, I've got a full working, like detailed outline so that I can really start to hunker down and write and hopefully have the first draft done by the end of the year. I say that every year, but I feel more confident this year, like knowing what I need to do. So that was a great breakthrough for me with the help of my therapist, Paula. Shout out, Paula. So that's been good. The lows, just like not finding much love in reading. And I think that's because, like I said, the obsession with the social media, just consuming social media rather than breaking away from it and setting the time. So yeah, I think those are it. Also great. I mean, we worked on the anthology. The anthology was huge for me this year. A really good practice in that, realizing that I don't really want to change the world with my writing. I just want to be a good storyteller. I just want to make people happy with how and the content of my stories. I'm not trying to do anything crazy. And that was a huge thing for me too, because for a really long time, that pressure of like, oh, you got to be the best. You got to be this. You got to be that. And I'm like, when you boil it down, what have you just always enjoyed doing? It's just telling stories. So that's taken a lot of pressure off in the latter half of this year by kind of removing that. You must be an R.F. Kuang. You must be a this, that, and the other. It's like, not all of us can be, and that's okay too. So that's been a highlight. The anthology, the community, this has been fantastic. So yeah, some really good hard lessons, but important. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, very, very similar. I didn't make a lot of progress on the Night of Knives this year. And it was really funny because earlier, I think it was either this month or last month, I was looking at my pinned social posts and I had some of the ones about A Night of Knives that were like, holiday 2024. And so I quickly unpinned those when I saw that. I was like, oops. Yeah. So that taught me not to set a release date until I have the book uploaded to Amazon, because I was the only one who was like pointing that out, like to myself, but I still felt awkward unpinning it.
Well, yeah, you don't want to like, yeah, you set that yourself and people like someone saw it. If it's even if it's right. Just you and you're like, oh, well, Diane didn't get there. But also, yeah, a hell of a year.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I really didn't make nearly as much progress on A Night of Knives this year as I would have liked. Ideally, I would have had the first draft done, but we are not there and we are not close. But
that's okay.
That is my number one goal for 2025. And that's like my only like really strict writing goal that I set for myself. And when I say strict, I mean like the only hyper specific goal that I set where I'm like, I want to get the draft of this done. Even if I don't get anything else done in writing, this is my number one goal. Like just at least the first draft, even if it's messy, I just want a complete story.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. Hopefully by the end of the year, but also trying to remind myself it's okay if I don't completely hit that, because I didn't this year. And then some of the highlights of 2024, obviously the podcast has been super fun and it's been super great going live with you. And then with all of our guests, this has been a learning experience in itself. Just learning like what works and what doesn't for a podcast, because before this, I had no experience running a podcast.
Yeah. A true ground up kind of moment for us. Right. Like we were literally like, we have no idea, but we're going to do it anyway. Yeah.
That was a common theme this year where it was like, I've never done this before. Let me take it on and lead this project. Yeah. And yeah, sure. I'll start a podcast. Sure. I'll start an anthology. That doesn't sound. And then learning about timelines, I think, and like what is a reasonable load that I can manage. Mm. You know, I think when we started Cool Inquiry, we were doing like weekly episodes, and then we both kind of felt like bi-weekly was better, and so that was like another learning experience. And then with the anthology, we set a really ambitious goal of being out in the summer, didn't hit that, and those are all fine. I'm not like complaining about those or anything. I just sharing my learning experiences of this year, and especially how bad I am at estimating time frames.
Also, which, hard to coordinate with a lot of people, at least in the anthology's sense. Like that is a lot. And also I mean, it's very infrequent that within a year you can put a collection of short stories together, you know? And so it's like you'll have almost done that within the year. So that's great, you know?
Yeah, I'm still super happy with the timeline that we did achieve. So it's, like I said, it's not like a bad thing per se. Just to share that just because things don't always go to plan doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad thing. And then I had another thought that I was supposed to share, but I kind of lost track of where I was going with that. But yeah, I think did we do goals for 2025 or did we not touch on that yet?
I don't think so, but Bex did ask if we have any non-writing goals for next year. So I think we can
maybe jump right into that.
Yeah. What about you? You go first.
Okay. Yeah. So like I said, my number one writing goal is to get my first draft of A Knight of Knives done. I'm still going back and forth on whether I want to self-publish this or query it first. So we'll see how that goes. I don't want to commit to anything because, as I said before, when I commit to something in a post, it doesn't always work out. So don't quote me on anything, but that's my number one writing goal. And then obviously to get Blades for Hire out on the release date we set, which I'm pretty positive will be doable. And then outside of that, I have a lot of like non-writing goals. My gym visits have been slacking the past 2 months. So we're going to try to get those back up to where they were before. Thankfully, having the dog has helped me get out and walk at least. Yeah. So because
that's good. Yeah, that's always
Yeah, she will not let me forget when it's time to go outside. Like I've got her into the habit of, because I work from home, so she's in the habit of when I'm on lunch break, it's time to go outside. We're going for a walk. So she knows, which is good though, because if I forget or I'm not feeling up for it, it's like I don't really have a choice, right? Because she's sitting there by the door tail wagging. She's like, all right, let's go.
She's like, it's time.
So yeah, just mostly like health related goals, like just getting back into my regular workout routine that I had. And then what else do we got? I'm trying not to set like super rigid goals for myself, more just like broad things. So I think, is that your dog or is that mine?
Yeah, sorry. No,
this is fine.
Jingle, jangle, here she comes. She's like, you've been not paying attention to me for a really long time.
No. That's totally fine. But yeah, no, like I said, trying to set more broad goals that are kind of easier to achieve and a little more forgiving than what I had set at the beginning of this year, which were very like hard. Like you need to write this many words per day. You need to have A Knight of Knives self-published by the end of the year. You need to have the anthology done, all of those things. So just trying to try and take it a little more slow. And the thing with that is like, you can always overachieve. Like you can always shoot past those goals. There's nothing stopping you from that, but it's less of a disappointment if you set more reasonable goals and then you hit those, right? As to where you like set really, really crazy ambitious goals and then you like don't even come close.
Yeah. No, I fully agree with you there.
So I'm really trying to rein in my ambitious nature and not set too high.
Just narrow its focus.
Yeah. You know? Right.
Yeah. Not so wide. Yeah.
What about you? What are your goals going into the new year?
Well, Beck said my goal should be to look cute. Oh, wait, I already am, which is very cute for you to say. Yeah, like I said, the writing goal this year is to have a fully fleshed out actual outline for A Filthy Hunger, and then to at least get at least half of it actually written from that. I think those, not unattainable, but firm, and half is flexible depending on, but at least I think the full outline needs to be done. And I think I'll feel really good because I learned that from the anthology this year. If I have my outline in front of me, the writing process goes so much quicker. So lesson learned from this year that I'm going to take into next year. In terms of non-writing goals, I too want to, so my theme, I'm working on themed goals rather than specific goals. So 2025's word is going to be consistency for me, holding myself accountable. This year, I realized as we're getting closer to the end of the year, I'm like tired of not holding myself accountable, the guilt and the procrastination and all that kind of stuff. So consistency and accountability will be the themes. That means consistency in being healthy, so eating better and going to the gym more, working on the rock climbing game, consistency in my writing practice. Also goals, Ross and I, my partner and I's goals are to travel more internally in the US to see more of the states, which will be good. And then my reading goal is to read everything on my TBR. I don't have a huge TBR like physically on my bookshelf. I did really good last year of not buying any books. I just like either did it from the library or like Kindle Unlimited and started to work through my TBR. So I think I probably got 10 unread books on my TBR. And once I can finish those, I could be like, now I can work.
Yeah.
My digital never-ending TBR. But yeah, and then also just like keeping connected with people. I think TikTok is going to be a big shakeup in terms of not necessarily the groups that we have on Instagram and Discord, but just keeping up with people. And there was one more thing that I had, but like you, I kind of, yeah, the consistency is also not being on social media as much. So that's, anyway, themed goals.
Yeah. No, I like that you mentioned the consistency, because that's kind of what, like, I put like my goals in like a Word doc just so I can keep track of them. Yeah, and love that. That was kind of my overarching theme too, was like, even if you don't get a lot done, just being consistent in these different areas. So like consistency with your gym workouts, consistency with your writing. So like, it doesn't matter how many words you write, just write every so often and that counts. Right. So yeah, I like that theme for goals for going into next year, the consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just like, for me, because this year has been like a very much like a lack of this is going to sound, I'm having a hard time describing this. It's not a lack of love of writing, but like refining that spark and enjoyment. Right. And I think the realization of like just wanting to be a storyteller has kind of let that start to emerge for me. So, you know, finding that passion again, because for so long it felt like I was failing because I wasn't gaining a lot of followers on Instagram or TikTok, or, you know, I kept rewriting the same thing over and over. So, yeah.
Well, Ash, I think we touched on most of the topics I had. Like I said, it was going to be a shorter episode. Yeah. I think we still have Bex and Nicole with us. So if you guys have any questions or anything you want to share going into 2025, let us know.
What do you guys want from us, if anything?
That too, if there's anything you would like to see in 2025 from Cool Inquiry, because I believe this is our last episode because the next two Tuesdays are holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we will see you guys all in 2025, but we would love to hear.
Easy to think about.
Yeah, right. I remember when I was a kid and I thought like 2010 was a crazy number. So it's.
I know. Don't even get me started. Love you too, Bex. Yeah, I think this has been like, even if it's just our few consistent peeps on here, it's just been really good to connect every other week. Nicole said, I'd love like a monthly favorite line I wrote this month. That's a good idea.
That would be a cool segment. We could probably tie that into like the work in progress check-in so that like fits right in. Who is your dream book cover artist? That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
I've seen a lot of good ones, so I don't, and I'm blanking on some of their names.
I know. I'm blanking on their names too, but there are a couple consistent people, like book artists that I follow. Why am I blanking? It's been a long week and it's only Tuesday.
Yeah.
There are definitely a couple that I have that I'm always like, oh, that would be a dream to get my. Whoever did, he's on Instagram, whoever did the Rainbow Rowell books, I'm going to have to look this up.
It's okay. Bex says, Jason
Chuang, yes, I think. Is yours. Okay, I was like, no, that sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah. Nicole says, releases you're looking forward to in 2025. So my number one anticipated book for 2025 is The Devils by Joe Abercrombie. So, and obligatory The Winds of Winter. But that will never, you know, I'm not even going to say it's not going to happen because I don't want to jinx myself for next year. But Winds of Winter, I will say, has been my most anticipated book of the year for the past 8 years. We'll see. But
yeah, I think.
Were you able to find your artist? Sorry.
Kevin Wada. Wada, I think. Yeah, Kevin Wada. He does a lot of like Marvel stuff too, but he did like Rainbow Rowell's covers for one book series. And I really like his like painterly style. So he would be one, but I know that's a pricey ask. The new V.E. Schwab book I'm really looking forward to. Really, I don't have a lot on my 2025 TBR because I'm genuinely trying not to like feel like I'm behind on everything, because I like truly haven't put anything on my Goodreads, on Storygraph, on anything. I just am like, I can't. So I'm always looking forward to V.E. Schwab though. Anything, I don't know if R.F. Kuang's putting anything out. There are a couple that I'm like keeping an eye out on, but only if I can finish what's on my TBRs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I've tried to keep my like books I'm allowed to buy next year very limited. Obviously, I have to have those two on there, but
yeah,
outside of that, there's not much. And real quick, to circle back to Bex's question, there's not, I can't think of a cover artist that is like my dream artist to work with, but I did talk to an artist that I loved growing up recently this year that I would love to commission for character art. She did, so if, I don't know if anyone here has played the Dragon Age games, but when you have a cast of like companions in the game and each of them has like a tarot card and it has really cool art attached to it, like for the character that changes throughout the game depending on like what happens to them. And so she does really cool character art in like that Tarot style, and I want like a full deck of a Knight of Knives characters someday.
That's so sick.
That would be really cool. So I would love to do that one day. That's like, that's my number one like art dream with my books right now.
Yeah, that's sick. That's such a cool idea. You'll have to share is she on Instagram?
Yeah, she's on Instagram. I would say I struggle to say her name because she's Ukrainian and I'm very bad at pronouncing it. So I don't want to butcher it, but I will share her on my story later so you guys can see, because she does really good work.
Yeah. Hell yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, there are so many. I feel so bad I don't have like a off the top of my head.
Nicole is coming in with the pronunciation fix for me. I'm sorry, Nicole.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Can you say it so I...
Harrow? All right.
Nicole, another thing.
Just let him roll with it.
Another thing.
Tell the poor guy.
Another thing I learned in 2024. Thank you for getting that to me before next year. I appreciate it.
Well, carrot. Tarot. See, I get that. Like, I understand why when you read it, you're like, tarot. Sure, of course. Yeah, unfortunately.
No,
you're like in with the.
No, my it's tarot. My partner probably would have corrected me if she heard me saying it too. I should be getting it correct because she's very into that stuff.
It's just a tarot deck, but it's all different forms of carrots, and you're like, oh, this is the carrot tarot. Anyway.
Well, I think that's gonna be it for us.
So too.
Thank you so much, Nicole,
yes.
And Bex. And yes, thank you so much, Ash, for a wonderful year of Cooling Query. And super excited to see what we do in 2025. I almost messed up the year. I meant to touch on it before, but we average about 10 viewers on our uploaded podcasts after the lives.
Nice.
Some weeks are lower, some are higher. So average is about 10. So we're going up very slowly, but it's going up.
Oh, hopefully 2025 with the shakeup, we see some more activity, but we'll take the 10. I love that. If it's 10, it's 10. If it's
you
know, 5, it's 5. So I'm super excited. Thanks for always pushing to do new things on here. You never complain. You are always there, which is a rare thing these days. So I want to give you lots of appreciation too for leading the way for all of us.
All right. Well, I hope all of you in the chat and you, Ash, have a very happy, very merry Christmas season. And I will see you guys all next year.
Sounds good. Bye, guys. Stay safe. Have a good holiday.